We head to the hotline now as we bring in our friend Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, a pleasure to have you on as always, my friend. How are you?
Good to be here, Andy. I'm doing well. How about you?
So far, so good. It's Friday, so that means we're out to a nice start here. Yesterday was the sports equinox, as there were NHL, NBA, NFL, and, of course, Major League Baseball games on in the same day. So if you're a sports fan, this is one of the absolute greatest times of the year. Now, if you're an NFL team, on occasion this time of the year, you're being called upon to travel across the pond. And as you and I were talking earlier, you might think that there would be an effect on some of these betting trends and how the London games affect that whole process. But as we were talking earlier, there really hasn't been that great of an effect there.
No, not really. I mean, not a whole lot. In terms of the sample size that we're dealing with here, nothing that stands out to me as being all that significant. I will say the favorite tends to do pretty well in neutral site games, which really isn't a big surprise. I mean, it's, you know, the better team. It's a unique situation for both teams, so the better team generally going to win out a little bit more often there in neutral site games outside of the Super Bowl, because that's obviously a neutral site game, or at least for the most part it is. The favorite is 22-6-1 straight up, 19-9-1 against the spread. So the Chargers probably in a little bit of better shape here this week than the Titans, but these London games are always such a complex and complicated handicap.
Well, now that we are underway in week 7 in the NFL, as soon as the opening lines were reported a few days ago, you know, there weren't a ton of real big surprises there. But what's interesting about handicapping some of these games and looking at the opening line report are the changes that take place over a few days as we get closer to the weekend with injury reports and things like that. Have you noticed any big changes since that opening line report for week 7 in the NFL?
Yeah, there have been a few big changes. I mean, right away in one of the big games here this week at New England and Chicago, the Patriots got bumped up from a 2.5-point favorite to a 3.5-point favorite on the road at Soldier Field. But as the week has gone along here, we've seen Chicago money hit the board from some influential and respected bettors that are out there. So that number is back down to 2.5 where it opened. So sometimes early on in the week, you'll see some people kind of basically throw some lines out there and see what they can catch, see what happens with the line movement, and then as limits increase later in the week at the different sports books, they'll come back over the top, play the side that they really wanted to play. Feels like New England and Chicago was one of those games here this week. We've seen Tampa Bay take some money, although with the news today that Gerald McCoy and Vinnie Curry are both going to be out on that Tampa Bay defensive line, that number's moved back down a little bit. Obviously, Buffalo and Indianapolis with Derek Anderson, a guy that we all know and I guess I'll say love, getting the start here for Buffalo this week. That number's come down from 9 to 7.5. But, you know, one of the big things about this week, Andy, is that really for the first time all season, we've got a lot of numbers that are a touchdown or below. Lots of numbers in the 3, 4, 5 range. So could be a pretty dramatic NFL weekend.
Boy, that really is incredible, and that speaks to just how difficult it can be to bet on NFL games with the lines being 7 points or less. That really is incredible, and it also blew me away, too. I read that report earlier this week that Derek Anderson is still playing. I can't believe that guy's still going. We're 11 years removed now from the great season he had with the Browns, and he's still hanging on. That's shocking to me that guy's still on an NFL roster.
There are some guys, I don't know if they just have an innate ability to hold a clipboard on the sideline or what, but I mean, you want to talk about one of the cushiest jobs in professional sports. If you can be a backup quarterback, a longtime backup quarterback, not take a beating on Sundays, but just kind of be that in case of emergency type of guy, those guys hang around like crazy. I mean, it's almost like how left-handed relievers used to be in Major League Baseball, and the game's changed a little bit now. If you throw 88, you're not hanging around that long anymore. But it's kind of like that, where if you've proven you can throw a football every now and then but be a good teammate, you seem to have a job as a backup quarterback in the NFL somewhere.
Yeah, no doubt. Tough to dispute that. Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Adam, you wrote something very interesting a couple days ago. It was basically detailing some of the college football situational betting tips for this week. And there are some interesting games in here that you mentioned. I want to focus on a couple specifically. You talked about Stanford and Arizona State. You mentioned this could be a pretty big spot for Stanford as they are coming off of a bye week. Arizona State is such a tough study this year. They've been a little bit better than expected under Herm Edwards. I think a lot of people were expecting them to flop or at least endure some sort of a learning curve here under the first year under him as a head coach, but I know this is a game you feel pretty good about for Stanford.
Yeah, this was one there where last night I thought Stanford was in a really good spot against Arizona State, and this is an important thing that you can do at this time of the college football season is look for some of these situational opportunities. For a team like Stanford, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they were playing on the road at Notre Dame off of a big win against Oregon, a division rival out there in the Pac-12. They make that long trip to South Bend. Doesn't work out at all for them. Come back home, play a very physical Utah team. They just got worn down. So then this week, Stanford off the bye against Arizona State. Tough to go down to Tempe last night on a what would normally be a short week, but because they had that bye week, it wound up giving them a chance to get healthy, get things back in order, figure out what to do with a banged-up Bryce Love, and Stanford came away with that win last night. So it was one of those examples of using the schedule to your advantage, looking for opportunities where if a team's had a rough stretch, then they get a bye week with a good coach like David Shaw, probably a good time to go back on a team like that. So that's pretty much what I look to do every week in that article.
Well, and of course, around these parts, a big high school, or should say a big matchup with a lot of high school guys cluing in on this because these two teams heavily recruit up in this area, in Akron and Kent State. That's one that we always certainly keep a lookout for, and I know this is one of those games that at least around here is a rivalry game that a lot of people really like to pay attention to. You mentioned a couple days ago there hasn't been a whole lot of line movement, but it's a rivalry game, and it could be a pretty good situational spot to cover.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting game. And again, I mean, you know, you talk about a week with Michigan versus Michigan State or Oregon versus Washington State, Oklahoma, TCU, NC State, Clemson, stuff like that. You know, these low group of five types of rivalry games don't get a whole lot of press. But, you know, make no mistake. I mean, obviously all of us around here know Akron and Kent State about 15 minutes apart. I'm sure you've got listeners out there that went to both of these schools. Akron's actually my alma mater, so this is a game that I always pay close attention to, but Akron right now a 5-point favorite here in this one, and that's particularly interesting to me because the Zips over the last 2 weeks have looked really, really bad. They're turning the football over a ton. They don't have much offensively. Kent State, you know, they started out pretty impressive. A close loss in Illinois. Illinois is not a very good team, but they looked really good in the first half of that game. Blew out Howard. Howard upset UNLV last year, so Howard's a decent FCS team. The thing for Kent State this week is that, you know, they get a team that's closer to their level. So this is a spot where for Sean Lewis, one of the youngest head coaches in college football, I think actually the youngest head coach in college football, you know, this is kind of a chance to pick up a signature win in his first year. Akron, you know, kind of going in the opposite direction here a little bit. So I'm kind of torn on this game, but obviously with the wagon wheel in play, you're going to get a max effort from both of these teams. The thing I generally tend to look for, Andy, is coming off of these rivalry games, I look to go against those teams the next week because you put a lot of effort, a lot of emphasis, a lot of enthusiasm into winning that trophy. And especially if you're a team like Kent State who's not going to go to a bowl game or anything like that, this is a huge game for them. If they don't get this one, maybe there's a hangover on October 30th against Bowling Green. If Akron loses the wagon wheel, maybe there's a hangover next week at home against Central Michigan. So you look to use that to your advantage as well. Even if you don't have a play on the game this week, you may be able to use that to your advantage next week.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, we could spend a lot of time in the college game, but we'll transition now into week 7 for the NFL DraftKings and FanDuel DFS starting lineup tips. You threw a quarterback in here, which is pretty interesting. You know, with Jimmy Garoppolo out of the equation now in San Francisco, C.J. Beathard had an opportunity to shine. He certainly did that on Monday. And this is a guy you feel pretty good about in DFS this week.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, this is really for people that are in the GPPs, the guaranteed prize pools, which are basically, to kind of throw it to something that's in the current events right now, almost kind of like the DFS version of a lottery, where, you know, you're putting together a lineup where you've probably got some guys that are kind of off the beaten path a little bit. maybe C.J. Beathard is that type of guy this week. You've got this game here where the Rams are about a 10-point favorite against the 49ers. So the expectation from a game flow standpoint is that San Francisco is going to be trailing for the majority of this game, and they're going to be trying to play catch-up. Well, you're not going to catch up much when you run the football because the clock is moving. So you're going to want to throw it a lot. So I think a guy like C.J. Beathard, for example, maybe a volume kind of play where he has to drop back and throw 40, 45, 50 times, something like that, to keep his team in this game. Furthermore, the total on this game is 52. So if you're somebody that's out there, you know, maybe looking to pick up streamers for bye weeks in a traditional fantasy league or playing daily fantasy, there can be a correlation between the game total from a betting standpoint and who you want to pick up in the fantasy market. This year so far, games with a total of 52 or higher are 10-3 to the over. So when we're supposed to get points, we're getting points. We're supposed to get points in that Rams 49ers game. That's why I think C.J. Beathard, you know, again, probably not a guy you want to play in a head-to-head or a 50-50, but in one of those big lottery ticket prize pool events, he may be a guy that does end up having a pretty big week here.
Very good stuff. Well, Adam, we appreciate the time as always, man. Always a pleasure to have you on. And next week when we have you on, not only will we dive into our regular schedule of football things as well, we also got to talk some World Series as well, because I know there will be a lot to talk about when the Fall Classic is set and ready to rock and roll next week at this time. Adam, thanks as always for the time.
No problem.